So, we've established in our series on giving that that giving begins with God. That has been such a helpful truth in my own life, and I trust it's helpful for you as we contemplate and think about this topic, this action that is involved, that we are involved in as Christians. Our very lives are gifts from God, seeing as how He has divinely formed us. We've been reminded that God gave the ultimate gift of His Son in the greatest display of love ever known. The generous nature of God must be the starting point for us as we, His church, seek to understand giving ourselves. We took time examining 2 Corinthians 8, 9 last week, which says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich." We were reminded of the age-old truth of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Giving begins with God. It's not your idea, it's not my idea, it's God's idea. And we have learned that from the Scriptures, from the beginning on up, and God's people, as God revealed His Word to His people, they saw God give, and they experienced God give. I want to remind you that the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were written by Moses, who lived and wrote a long time after the events of creation, Adam and Eve, the flood. But God inspired him through the Spirit to write those things, and so therefore God revealed Himself to the people of Israel just as they were ready to cross into the promised land. God revealed Himself as a creator, as one who gave. And as the people stood there on the side of the Jordan awaiting the next instructions from God, they were refreshed by the many stories and accounts that were recorded by Moses of how God gave to them and to their forefathers over and over again. The times that God gave them bread, manna, in the wilderness. And they had even complained and said they were hungry. And God gave it to them. And God gave them meat. God gave them quail. God gave them water out of the rock. God gave them deliverance from Egypt. God gave. There's a concept in the Scriptures that I believe is important as we contemplate further this topic of giving. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 as we establish the importance of understanding stewardship. Stewardship. So please go to Matthew chapter 25. All right, this is Jesus speaking, and he is giving a parable, if you will, and I want you to notice verse 14, please. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, I just want to stop here for a moment and help us realize that in the days of the Bible, the days of Jesus, shall we say, they were ruled by Rome, and Jesus operated in Israel. That's where mainly he was ministering, and so he was ministering mainly to Jewish people. And the structure of their society was often there were those who had abundance, and so therefore there were people who would work for them and handle the owner's abundance. In this passage, they're called servants, and other places you might see the word stewards. Now, a steward is a manager. And we're going to see in this text Jesus assumes that the people understand this concept, and that's why I'm explaining this to us. There are stewards, they are managers of someone else's money, property, possessions. And so, for our young people here today, it's that concept of when, say, I went away for a time, and I gave my boys certain responsibilities, and so I give them some funds, some money, and they are responsible to take care of that money, to make sure that the bills are paid, and there is food on the table for the family. And so I give them that money. Now, when I give them that money, they get excited because they have this wad of money, this wad of cash. But is it really theirs? No, it's not theirs, right? It's not theirs. It really came from someone else. It came from me. Now, here's where it translates into our lives. The money that I gave to them to take care of things, where did I get it? Is it really mine? And this is one of the most profound things in my life that has helped me. And so therefore I believe it's important to help you. And I want us to see it in the scriptures, and I want us to live this way, not because a pastor is saying it and it impacted his life, but see it because it is a principle in the Word of God. And here it is. First, we talked about giving begins with God. Secondly, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. You know, when we can rid ourselves of this stuff, this possessions of this attitude of mine, it's mine. And when we can begin to say it's his, it goes a long way in helping us and preparing us for being a generous, cheerful giver. So with this in mind, I want you to pay attention to Jesus' parable as he's proclaiming it, and you'll notice what takes place. The first verse that we read already makes much of whose stuff it is, who it belongs to. When you read, you see at the end of verse 14, it says, his goods. He delivered unto them his goods. So it belonged to this man who was traveling away. So now verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. All right, so what is taking place? I think we can all gather here and think about, I get this, I see this. A man who has possessions and money and things has to go away, but things still need to happen on his land and his property. So the stewards, the servants, are put in care over this property. It's not theirs, it doesn't belong to them, but they are given the responsibility to take care of it. In other words, they are given stewardship. They are given the responsibility to take care of these certain things. So he gave the 5 talents to the one, he gave 2 to the other, and he gave 1 to a third. Let's just notice here, verse 15, a couple of the details. Unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1. Notice this, to every man according to his several ability. What is that saying? To every man according to his ability, several ability, various abilities. So this owner, we'll call him, he understands his stewards. And he knows that some of them are really good with animal care. And he's got all the cows and the camels and the donkeys. And the owner says, I want you to take care of these things. I want these animals. So I'm going to give you whatever you need. I'm going to give you this. This should be enough to take care of these animals. And so he recognizes in this servant the ability to take care of the animals. The other person, there's a lot of household duties that the house needs to be maintained, and he recognizes he has this ability, and so he gives them what's appropriate for his ability. Now, what we're noticing in here is that the owner knows the steward. The owner understands the steward, understands the servants. He has observed and watched and seen their track record. And so, therefore, he knows how they operate. So we recognize that some's given 5, others given 2, one's given 1. And you know, many of us have read through this. And we know how it turns out. But you know, why didn't he just give it all to the one or the 2? You know, you could ask those questions. This is a teaching tool of Jesus. I mean, he is preparing his followers for what life to come. He's going to be going away, and he's telling them about what God expects of them and their life. Because when you read this, you ask the question, why is he telling a story about a man who's going away? Well, Jesus is going to be going away. And there's this intersection of Jesus' life and the story. And that happens so often in the parables. And so you seek to figure out where do people fit? Where do the followers of God fit? Where do the unbelievers fit? Where's God in this? Where's Jesus in this? Because Jesus is teaching. And we are to be learning. And one of the things we can learn from this is the value of stewardship and the important principle that I've already stated, that everything belongs to God. We have been called to be faithful. Paul writes that in his epistles. We have been called to be faithful stewards. The reason we've been called to be faithful stewards is that that's the way God views us. And so therefore, it's the way we ought to consider ourselves in the sight of God. Everything belongs to God. Think about the impact that that has on your life personally. You think of the steward, he's given five talents, and the instruction is to every man according to his ability, and the man takes his journey. And the man with five talents, verse 16, he goes, he trades it, and he makes another five talents. So there is an understanding as a steward that there is an important investment that needs to happen. That, yes, everything belongs to God, but he places us in these positions of stewardship that his work might be furthered, that we might invest in his work. Now, that could take many different forms. You follow through the New Testament, and you can see that there were many who were helpers of the apostles. They took them in and provided housing and food for them. There were some people, that men that traveled with the apostles and ministered unto them. There were people who gave. There were people who had churches right in their homes. Why? What would it be? Why would people do this? You see, as the Church of Jesus Christ, when we get this in our minds that everything belongs to God, then we're starting to ask the question, then, well, God, then what do you want me to do with it? Because God wants us to do something. God wants us to invest in his work, that his kingdom might be furthered. And so when you take upon yourself this mindset of, I'm a steward, I'm God's money manager, if you will, right? If we're going to talk about money. I'm God's money manager. How are you doing with that? Wow. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? I mean, there's accountability to that when you think about, boy, God has given what he has put in our hands. How am I doing in managing that? We're all stewards of the resources God has placed in our hands. You know, as I learned this principle early on in our marriage, this has been a very helpful principle for us. Because how many of you in your marriages, finances is a hot topic? And I don't mean like, yeah, let's talk about money. I mean, and it can be, you know, there could be fireworks, discord, right? I tell you, that's one of the reasons why we got to talk about this as a church. Because I think that's fairly universal statistics, if you want to hear it. They teach that finances is one of the top reasons that husbands and wives will argue or fight. And, you know, as a church, we know better than that. And we need to teach, I need to teach these types of principles so that we as Christian families are not afraid to interact with the resources that God has given to us and to be together in unity in what God has for his people and his work. Are you excited to be God's steward? Isn't it exciting to think about that paycheck that you get every 2 weeks? Oh, I remember My first job was lawn mowing. Her name was Doris Bidding, and she paid me $6 an hour. They had a really nice Ford lawn tractor, and it was really the first, you know, it was so thrilling to be able to mow. And it was so exciting to walk home, or not walk, but get, to go home with that money in the hand, in my hands, to think about, wow, I earned that. I didn't know this principle though. I didn't walk away saying, this is a gift from God. Now, yeah, I worked for it. I didn't walk away with that. This is a gift from God. I walked away with, well, I got to pay for my horse's food and care. And, you know, that's why I had a job. I had a horse. But as I began to grow and grow up and learn, and I began to, I got paychecks from doing land surveying. That was my job before pastoring. The amount might have grown. But the principles that I was being taught helped me realize that here in my hands is God's money. That He is passing through me. And by His divine pleasure and His divine kindness and grace, it passes through me. And I am called to be His money manager. And we all know that there are all kinds of different things in our life that we're responsible for. To care for our families and make sure our families are cared for and basic needs are met. And when we have this wondrous attitude of the kindness of God in placing us in this position, it postures us so that we can be equipped to handle these resources in a right way when we realize it belongs to God. You know, it changes the whole dynamic when you realize that you have some options on the table about what needs to happen, and you realize this is the money that God has given to us, this is His resources, and you begin to look at these options in different ways. And you know what you might even do? You might even pray about it. Oh, how's that? How often are we involved? Are we involving God in our decisions when we think about the resources that God has placed in our stewardship? God has called us to be faithful. How are you doing as God's money manager? I think it'll change your life as it's changed mine when I just realized that simple truth. I joke with you, and you guys know I like tools, and I like to work with my hands. I like to construct. I like to build things. That's my therapy, if you will. I realized a couple years ago that I had a hard time if I found a tool laying out in the grass, rained on, starting to rust, or pieces are lost. Somehow these things happen, you know, and I see a lot of smiles, so I'm not alone, right? I mean, I just realized that my attitude stunk about that, because it was just, I'd get frustrated and annoyed. And I know we got to teach responsibility and take care of things. I know that. But you know what helped me is to realize it's His. It's His tool. Whose tool? Oh, it's His. And so what I've done, and you know, if you've worked with any of the tools that God has placed into my possession, I've written on it, His, not mine. And I can't tell you how that's ministered to me, because it's a special thing to me. And you think about the special things that you might have in your life, and if it gets a scratch on it, you're upset. Or if a kitchen utensil, ladies, or no insulting to men who are in the kitchen, but something gets broken, and you're upset about it, and you can respond in unrighteous ways. Why? Yes, we can be upset about carelessness and irresponsibility, but let's remember, if it really belongs to the Lord, then the Lord's not shocked that it got broken. He knew all about this scenario a long time ago. And so therefore, it surely helps to say, God, if you wanted your car to be scratched, okay. Did I hit a button on that one? Anybody like that just a pristine finish? And don't touch the car? Yeah. So you know what? Money is such a hot topic. Money gets us in so much trouble. You know, there's a reason why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we're going to talk through some of those passages. But this concept that we're talking about of understanding stewardship, that I am God's money manager, is foundational. Because it is from there that we can then begin to handle and look at these different passages that speak of giving, of generosity, of caring for the poor, of giving to the work of the Lord. When we have the right attitude, when the right frame of mind, when we see ourselves in the right position, we're a steward, we're a servant, we're placed under the authority of God and caring for His goods, not ours, then we're ready. God would direct us as we have the right mindset of investing in His work, realizing we're dealing with His money, possessions, or whatever it might be. I know that there is so much more that can be said about this parable. I mean, it teaches the profound importance of being faithful. We know that verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. There's accountability. There's a time when He's coming again. There's an answer that needs to be given for how you handled God's resources. And so, verse 20, so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Do you notice here that what these servants are hearing from their Lord, from their master, from their one who is in authority, from the owner, what they are hearing, your heart naturally longs to hear, well done. This may be a little rabbit trail, but I am learning as a father the importance of affirming my children, of making sure they know. And children, I'm still working on this, but making sure they know they've done well. Do you know, God lets us know. He says, well done. And Jesus communicates this parable, giving this little window and insight into the way that God handles this accounting, this reckoning. God just doesn't say, thank you very much, move on. But God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He proclaims the truth about you. I've seen you who have done well, my servant. You have been faithful. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You want to be in the joy of the Lord, right? Sure you do. Sure you do. Then be a good money manager of the Lord's resources. Understand God's called you to be a steward of whatever you have. And notice, whatever you have ought to be put in quotes, because what do you have? Yeah, God has provided, right? Everything, God, giving begins with God. God has given you your life. And God has given so many different things in your life. And I know we could look around and say we could start comparing one another, right? Well, he's given them a lot more. Listen. We can get all wrapped up in comparing and all that kind of stuff. It's going to take us nowhere but bad. If we can just realize that, listen, keep our eyes on God. Keep our eyes on the fact that how has God given and demonstrated giving, and realize that these things belong to God anyway. And if God wants to put more into their hands, so be it. They got more responsibility then. God bless them. Use them. Help them to be faithful. God, help me to be faithful. And we get to pray with one another as we watch God bless, realizing he may put resources in your hands and my hands, and then the next year it might be very different. But it's God moving and God doing what he wants to do. And we get to be a part of that. And that's exciting. And I hope it captures your heart to be a part of God's plan and God's work. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent, he came and he said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and unto he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't have to guess which position you'd like to be in. I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is emphasizing the importance of faithfulness with what God has entrusted to us. May we not be careless, but may we have in our minds, this belongs to God. And he wants it to grow. He wants it to be used to further his work. It's an investment he wants me to make so that he sees it as valuable. So my God sees this as more. I might not necessarily, but my God, he sees it as more. Wow. It's revolutionizing, and we'll talk more through it, but this is just a basic foundation that we get our minds thinking on this important point of stewardship. Giving begins with God. And everything belongs to God. So, Lord, I ask for your help. Because, God, we all wrestle with challenges of life. We all have, to different varying degrees, possessions, finances, various property, investments, assets, whatever they are, Lord. And so often, God, we can get so wrapped up in all of those things. And God, so we're going to ask you right now to help us. We're going to ask you, Lord, that you would remind us often that it's yours, not mine. And that God, we would be faithful. Because, Lord, we want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, frankly, Lord, it is exciting to think about you owning everything and that I get to be a part of that. And I confess, Lord, I don't always have the right attitude, and I need your consistent guidance in this, Lord. Help me and help us. Church, I ask you to be serious concerning this point. Church, I ask you in your heart to wrestle through these questions of stewardship. How am I doing as God's money manager? What is my attitude toward the things and money that God places under my care? Lord, would you reveal to me idols in my life, things that I've counted as mine, when it's truly yours? And God, would you help me to have the right attitude about that? God, you are faithful. Have your way in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.